KFAA 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. More Americans are trying to leave Gaza as the fighting between Israel and Hamas intensifies.
There are around 750 who are left. That includes 220 American citizens. The rest are family members or legal permanent residents.
State Department spokesman Matthew Miller says about 1,000 U.S. citizens have been able to cross into Egypt. The former U.S. ambassador to Bolivia is under arrest. He's accused of being a spy for Cuba. New details in the arrest of an accused serial killer in Southern California. Police say Jared Powell is behind the fatal shootings of 4 people in 4 days. 3 of the victims were homeless men. The sheriff's department tracked down his car in Beverly Hills using a license plate system, which is unique to the city. The families of the victims in a mass shooting at a Dollar General store back in August are expected tomorrow to announce a wrongful death lawsuit at the store, the security company, and against the shooter's family. Stocks are lower heading for the close. This is ABC News.
Lofi's Holiday Sweepstakes is back. The Bakers of Country Hearts would like to put a little more jingle in your holiday this season by giving you a chance to win one of two $500 prizes.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A bill in the legislature let anyone who wins more than $1 million in the lottery to claim their prize anonymously. The idea is to protect lottery winners from people who press them for money. 18 other states do it that way. Strategists say the next Wisconsin Supreme Court race will be a referendum on the new majority's upcoming rulings. Waukesha judge and former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel announced he's running last week.
Each one of these races is different. Ann Walsh Bradley, for example, will have a record of ruling on many cases that will have come before her that touch on these issues.
That's Patrick Garassi. He helped run Janet Protasiewicz's campaign. He was on Upfront on WISN-TV. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A lack of snow is having a negative impact on some Duluth area businesses. According to a Northern News Now report, businesses like private plowing companies are struggling with an abnormal lack of snow on the ground this winter, being forced to lean on other parts of their business to stay afloat. On the other side, however, city maintenance workers are thrilled with the lack of snow, saying the record-breaking snowfall over the last 2 years has put a lot of stress on the city's equipment. Proposed legislation in Wisconsin would require businesses across the state to accept cash payments. The bill would require businesses to accept cash for transactions below $2,000, or they could face a fine between $200 and $5,000. State lawmakers believe businesses not accepting cash creates an undue burden for individuals who are either unwilling or unable to use cashless payment systems. 7 other states have legislation prohibiting cashless businesses. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
The Packers upset the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers were 5.5-point underdogs to the Kansas City Chiefs. They proved the odds makers wrong. Green Bay 27, the Chiefs 19. Christian Watson with 2 touchdown catches before he had to leave the game with a hamstring injury.
I just think the offense as a whole is clicking a lot more. I think we found our groove. It's been showing.
The Chiefs have now fallen to 8-4, and they host the Bills next week. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, obviously we're not where we want to be yet, but I feel like we're close. We're playing a lot of good football teams really well. Be focused on another challenge this next week coming out to Arrowhead.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers will face the LSU Tigers in the ReliaQuest Bowl, formerly the Outback Bowl in Tampa. The kickoff 11 a.m. on New Year's Day. The Badgers with a record of 7-5 against the Tigers at 9-3. Luke Fickell says his team will remain physical.
We all know what this program's been built on, right? It doesn't mean it has to change.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance of snow tonight, otherwise cloudy. Lows level off around 28. Westerly winds around 5 miles per hour. 35 tomorrow, overcast. Lows around 18 tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 33.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. UK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long time.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Well, Mike Johnson, the speaker, whom I just had been talking about, now has announced that he thinks it is time to impeach Joe Biden. And he claims he has enough votes to get the impeachment passed. Let's unpack that a little bit. The White House issued a statement, which I agree 100%, which says that Johnson doesn't even believe in himself. And it's dishonest. He's doing it to throw a bone to Marjorie Taylor Greene and the Freedom Caucus. And I think that's right, because remember, any one of them can call the chair vacant and order a vote. And right now, they just got rid of Santos. So now they're down to, I think, 221 votes. If they lose three, they're 218. But if they lose four, they're 217, and they can't pass anything with 217, then they need 218. So at some point with the goofy stuff, they may not hold everybody. So when he says that he has the votes to impeach Joe Biden, because remember something, he's not going to get any Democratic votes. So he says he has the votes to impeach Joe Biden. He's thinking that he'll only lose three Republicans. I don't believe that, because there are a number of Republicans, if they voted to impeach Joe Biden right now, they are in districts that Joe Biden won, some of them by double digits. They ain't getting reelected. They ain't getting reelected. But remember something else. Last month isn't that long ago, Johnson said, quote, there's insufficient evidence to initiate impeachment proceedings. And there's been no evidence since there was insufficient evidence, because they haven't done anything. They've been away on vacation for Thanksgiving. Now, remember something else. If you vote to impeach someone, all that does is sends it to a trial. The impeachment is only a majority in the House. But it requires two-thirds in the Senate after a trial. And Chuck Schumer has ways of torpedoing that. If the House votes to impeach, Chuck Schumer can't refuse to extend it to the Senate. But when he does, and it's clear that there's not two-thirds, you're going to find every Democrat, and I think some Republicans, who will essentially dismiss it out of hand. This is a stunt. Why are they doing this? Because it's the same fascist playbook that I talked about earlier in the show. one of the key points that they're trying to write now, because they realize that Trump is a destroyer of democracy. Trump is generally seen as a threat to democracy. They have Liz Cheney saying that we're sleepwalking into a dictatorship. So they are trying to invert that language and invert the procedure of impeachment and just make Biden the target. They will put Biden on trial. And it's not really a trial in the House, it's a vote. It's a trial in the Senate for, quote, destroying democracy, for, quote, corruption. Everything that is true about Trump, but false about Biden. In other words, it was Poland that attacked Germany, not Germany that attacked Poland. Germany didn't wipe Poland off the face of the map for over 100 years by carving it up, Prussia along with Russia and Austria. No, that didn't happen. If you say that often enough, people who don't know, don't read anything, don't much care, will believe it. A lot of them will believe it. And that's the purpose of the impeachment. Now, I think analytically, if you were advising Republicans, you'd say this is a very, very stupid idea and a very bad idea. Because unlike the Trump impeachments, where you had Zelensky being threatened by Trump, blackmailed, the first impeachment, you had Colonel Vindman and people with tremendous credibility, you're going to have a series of hacks, some of them who are under criminal indictment right now. I think it's going to accentuate the corruption in the Republican Party. But that is what he said. That is what he just said. And you have to believe somebody when they say it until the contrary. Now, he hasn't said it for any kind of vote. He's just threatening it, throwing it around. This Comer, the guy from Kentucky, is a real piece of work, who also said, we haven't found anything. They still didn't find anything. What, they found it when they were away for Thanksgiving for 10 days? That's when they found it? I don't think so. I don't think they found Jack, but stand by. That's what they are saying. That's what they are saying. And by the way, well, first of all, we're going to go to the lines. Tatter Billy of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Tatter Billy. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, I've got some thoughts for, I know you're not one of them, but people who are concerned about Joe Biden because of his age, et cetera, thinking he's not up for the job. First of all, he's not done anything to show that he's not absolutely equal to every task that's been put before him as president. But also, just to make an analogy, when my father got too old to clean the gutters, he taught us to clean the gutters. And he could tell if we didn't do it well by the way that the drainage on the roof performed. And even when my father passed away, he left a will that left responsibility of things to my mother in capable hands. And so for those people who are concerned about Joe Biden's age, they're full of it, because Joe Biden, even he's not shown that he can't do anything, but even if he couldn't, even if there were certain tasks that he could no longer do, he's got people around him who can do them. He still has the discernment and the discretion and the judgment to tell whether they've been doing it. He still has the wisdom to direct people, and he's set up a line of succession that is highly capable. So for those people who are concerned about his age, they're just all wet.
Yeah, thanks. That's a good call. And I'm not one of them. I'm not concerned at all. I know the guy. I've not had the privilege of meeting him, but I've seen him speak in public in a not too large a group here in Milwaukee back when he was vice president. And even now, this is a guy who was a star athlete in high school. He's in great shape. He stuttered as a kid. He's deliberate. He's not flashy guy, but he has tremendous wisdom and experience. He has tremendous wisdom and experience. And he physically has made these trips. He's gone, for instance, to Israel, to stand with Israel right after that genocidal, horrific attack by the Hamas terrorists on October 7th. he stood with Ukraine. He went to Ukraine. And you know how he did it? Flew into Poland, and they took a darkened train for 10 hours to get to Ukraine. And just before it went into Ukraine, they let the Russians know that he was there, and they better not fire any missiles because Moscow and St. Petersburg will no longer exist. And they didn't fire any missiles. Now, been to China. He's been all over the place. It's a very taxing schedule. This guy is up to it, absolutely up to it. The guy he's running against is only 3.5 years younger than he is, who will also be in his 80s as president if he were to win, has early onset argumentative dementia. So I'm feeling very good about Joe Biden, but you're right, if somebody claims that he's not up to snuff or something, very, very well done, Todd or Billy. Bob and Madison, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Bob?
Yeah, I'm thinking about that too. Joe Biden. I mean, look at Sandra Day O'Connor, 93. Rosalind Carter, 96. The Queen, 96. Henry Kissinger, 100. Jimmy Carter, 99 and still going. Look at that. They're all in their 90s or so. We are living longer than we were. You know, and the percentages, you know, I talked about this before because of the exercise versus the obesity. There's a 6-year difference between the two candidates in favor of Biden. And it works out. So I did the statistics, and it's an 80% chance that he'll survive his term, Biden will, but it's only a 70% chance that Trump will survive his term. And that 20% or 30% compares to 17% for presidents overall. 8 out of 46 have died in office. So, you know, 17% compared to 20 for Biden, that's almost the average. And people are living longer. It's just crazy. But you know, they keep, you know, Nikki Haley was talking about it. You know, they're talking about the vice president. They're going to run against the vice president. I think you said that too or something. That's the thing. Tom Harmon said that earlier today. He was saying they want to run against the black woman. And, you know, and people don't know much about her, and so they can make things up. And that's what they want to do. They want another, you know, like what they did to Barack Obama.
Yeah, that's a good point. But one thing to remember is Barack Obama got elected twice. So that's number one. Number two, these are excellent calls. The truth of the matter is that with modern diet and healthcare, we're all living longer. And there are plenty of people who are still very active the way Joe Biden is. But Trump is not. I mean, it's not just that he's badly overweight and he's unhealthy looking. He's argumentative in a weird way. It's early onset argumentative dementia. So if the two of them, I think Biden wins in a heartbeat. I think Biden wins in a heartbeat. Okay. Coming up, what we got, we have Dianne Heselbein, the new state Senate minority leader, and some thoughts on the Dane County executive race. Coming up.
Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Macklin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to comment briefly on a matter of Wisconsin politics. Very, very happy to see that Dianne Hesselbein has been elected by her peers to be the minority leader in the state Senate. I think she'd be very, very good. Her predecessor, Melissa Agard, a.k.a. Melissa Sargent, I think didn't have the same kind of moxie that Dianne Hesselbein has. And I think certainly not viewed over here in Milwaukee or lots of other places as pretty much time in around the state. Dianne Hesselbein would be very good. Melissa Agard, or Melissa Sargent, says she's running for Dane County Executive. I looked at that race and I want to say something about it. There's another candidate in that race, this Regina Bedever, and I may have been mispronouncing the name, and I also don't live in Dane County, so my friends over in Dane County make up their own minds. But I got to tell you that I am very, very impressed with everything that I've read about Regina Bedever. Here is 40% of the budget of Dane County is health and various services. And Regina Bedever received a doctorate in cellular and molecular biology in Madison. It's amazing, very, very fine department. She spent 10 years running a large cancer and research and advocacy nonprofit. And then she spent 3 years in UW-Madison running a primary care research program. So I'm beginning to think, quite frankly, as I look around, the people, this may be the year of the outsider. This may be the year where they don't just give automatic promotions to longtime political operatives. People want new ideas. And I am thinking, I mean, now we'll have a good minority leader, but more importantly, there's a candidate. We'll see how the campaign shapes up, but there's a candidate for Dane County Executive that at least reading about her on paper, I'm quite impressed with, and I'll be interested to hear people's, friends of mine, reaction to it, to her on the campaign trail. I want to say something else about a Wisconsin election. Brad Schimmel is running for Supreme Court. Now, let me say a few things about that. Ann Walsh Bradley, whom he's running against, is one of the best justices we've had in the Wisconsin Supreme Court in a generation. She is terrific. She's very smart. She's very, very responsible. She's very hardworking, very honest. And she has the experience. We absolutely need her. Absolutely need her. Now, this election is until April of 2025. It's not this April. It's a year from this coming April. What is Schimmel doing announcing now? It's a sign of weakness on his part. He's desperately trying to keep other people from getting in the race. Well, I'm for Ann Walsh Bradley. Remember, that's the good Bradley. The other one is Rebecca Bradley, the election denier. This is Ann Walsh Bradley. She'll have my full support. So others may try to get in, snatch a few scraps out of this thing. But Brad Schimmel is precisely the wrong guy if the Republican Party thinks they're going to put up somebody to put up. He's already railing against the liberals, the liberal majority. This liberal majority is not your father's liberal majority. And he's an election denier. This is a guy who will vote exactly like Rebecca Bradley and Annette Ziegler, Pat Rogan said. This is a guy who is just a doctrinaire guy who will follow orders from the Republican Party. Why they think that is going to be attractive to voters, I do not know. I'm amazed, quite frankly, that there isn't a younger conservative, okay, conservative, but somebody who just gets up and says, I believe in democracy. I believe in the peaceful transfer of power. I believe that Joe Biden won that race, but I will work hard for the Republicans to win future races. And just outline a vision, any kind of vision. There's an old adage in politics that goes like this. It doesn't matter what your message is, as long as you have a message. It doesn't matter what your message is, as long as you have a message. Everybody, by implication, has a message, even if they don't, by just their appearance, demeanor, and their background. And that's Brad Schimmel. He has no message. So they're going to make a message for him. And a stodgy guy who takes orders as a Republican, who rails about the liberal majority. Yeah, look, the Republicans for years would rail about local control. They eliminated local control. They don't believe in local control. They do. They always talk about a strong defense. They try to eliminate it. They don't promote officers and they cut money. They talk about our armed forces, but they vote not to pay them, not to pay them until there's a continuing resolution at the very last minute. They vote that they're tough on Russia. Then Trump goes, I'm for Putin. And they immediately stab Ukraine in the back, a lot of them. This party has no message. But by implication, what it has is the stodgy election denying message. If this character takes this into this election, he's going to lose big time. Go to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind, Mark?
Yeah, Brad Schimmel is really just a piece of manure. That I can't help but remember the whole Scott Jensen situation where he helped Mr. Jensen take a felony and turn it into a misdemeanor. That and the whole caucus scandal thing, and allowing Mr. Jensen to make a hefty sum of money working as a lobbyist for, I can't think of the organization off the top of my head right now, but I should be able to. But I wonder how much in campaign contributions Mr. Schimmel will be getting from them as a part of his, his thrust, quest for power. That it is just, you do something like that. I mean, Scott Jensen should never be allowed to practice politics in the state of Wisconsin after, the other people, took their medicine and went home. But Scott, little Scotty Jensen, Law and Order Republican, well, let's move it from Dane County, where he committed his crime, to the friendly shores or embrace of Waukesha County, to get that felony reduced to a misdemeanor. And it just disgusts me. It's still to this day, it still just disgusts me. And that is Brad Schimmel in a nutshell.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Mark. I'm not as familiar with that, but I will tell you this. This is Republican inside baseball. And they put this fellow Kelly up against Janet Protasiewicz. Janet is terrific. She's going to be one of the great justices, frankly, from this portion of Wisconsin history. And this fellow Kelly, I don't know if you saw his so-called concession speech, where he goes, he attacked Protasiewicz after she won, said untrue things about her, and then stalked out, didn't even say goodbye to his supporters. These people have no class. They have absolutely no class. And Schimmel is nothing more. He's repeating taglines from Republican speeches 30 years ago. The guy's a stodgy old Republican. He's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. And Walsh Bradley will win. Coming up, a lot of news and weather and some very, very disturbing developments in the Enbridge pipeline, which is going to be put on the lake bed of Lake Michigan under the Mackinac Straits. Coming up.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Airports around Wisconsin are getting money for safety and infrastructure upgrades. The Federal Aviation Administration is giving out $38 million in airport improvement grants. The money will upgrade runways, terminals, and roads. There are also plans for sustainability projects. The grants are part of a growing list of Wisconsin projects as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law. The Wisconsin Senate's new top Democrat says her goal is to make sure every member of her party has a voice in the legislature. Democrats elected Senator Dianne Hesselbein as their new minority leader Friday. Hesselbein is from Middleton. She was elected to the Assembly in 2012 and to the Senate in 2022. Hesselbein most recently served as the Democratic Caucus Vice Chair. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A Hayward man died in a single vehicle crash in Sawyer County over the weekend. According to the Sawyer County Sheriff's Office, authorities responded to a crash around 9:15 a.m. on Saturday on County Highway B, east of the intersection of County Highway W in the town of Winter. When they arrived, they found a 2018 Chevy Equinox in a wooded area off the road and determined 77-year-old James Kosinski was killed when he lost control of the vehicle, rolled over into the ditch, and hit a tree. $800,000 in scholarships have been made available for students in the Northlands. The Duluth Superior Area Community Foundation has announced over 80 scholarships are available for area students to apply for. The scholarships are available to high school seniors and other students pursuing post-secondary education, and students can search for different scholarships on the foundation's website that fit their education needs. The scholarship application deadline is February 15th.
And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Packers upset the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers were 5.5-point underdogs to the Kansas City Chiefs. They proved the odds makers wrong. Green Bay 27, the Chiefs 19. Christian Watson with 2 touchdown catches before he had to leave the game with a hamstring injury.
I just think the offense as a whole is clicking a lot more. I think we found our groove. It's been showing.
The Chiefs have now fallen to 8-4, and they host the Bills next week. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, obviously we're not where we want to be yet, but I feel like we're close. We're playing a lot of good football teams really well. Be focused on another challenge this next week coming out to Arrowhead.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers will face the LSU Tigers in the ReliaQuest Bowl, formerly the Outback Bowl in Tampa. The kickoff 11 a.m. on New Year's Day. The Badgers with a record of 7-5 against the Tigers at 9-3. Luke Fickell says his team will remain physical.
We all know what this program's been built on, right? It doesn't mean it has to change.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance of snow tonight, otherwise cloudy. Lows level off around 28. Westerly winds around 5 miles per hour. 35 tomorrow, overcast. Lows around 18 tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 33.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to the lines. Joe Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Great show, and thank you as always. I just wanted to return to some of the elements that you had in that in your last several segments. The first is that I'd love to get an analysis of this Trump's effort to state that the J6 protesters should be freed, that they are, quote, hostages, not prisoners. Number one, I'd like to bring up the idea of, if the Republicans are so big on the idea of stand your ground, is there nothing that is more significant as standing your ground when people who are paid to be police officers at the Capitol stand locking arms, seeking to make sure that protesters don't, that put their pepper spray down, put their bear spray down, and don't charge into the Capitol in order to hang Mike Pence and to stop the peaceful transfer of power? I would say that stand your ground is an appropriate place for that kind of activity on that particular day. And then I would also say that this idea that they should be freed, that Trump describes them as hostages, not prisoners. Well, those people went through a trial. Is he saying that all those juries of ordinary citizens were just dummies that didn't realize that these poor January 6th protesters are hostages, not prisoners? They went through a trial. Jury of their peers said, get out of here. You committed crimes. Stay in prison. And I would add to it this idea of, if he thought they were so great, why didn't he pardon them on the way out? He had every opportunity to just write a blanket pardon for all of the J6 protesters and chose not to. And then I'd like to get back to good old Mike Johnson, a man who always could be counted on to be kind of oblique to what's going on. His book introduction, in which he described the poor as, quote, unsophisticated and susceptible to government dependency. Who is more dependent on the government than welfare queens of the corporate class? I would give you one example. State of Washington, 2013, approved $8.7 billion handout to Boeing, a financially rich company, in order to, quote, maintain and grow its workforce within the state. So what did Boeing do? They laid off 12,000 workers. They had a mandate, and they blew it off, and there's no repercussions. So, you know, it's susceptible to government dependency. I would say that corporate welfare far exceeds that welfare of those others. And then finally, when it comes to Brad Schimmel, and I'm glad that you brought him up, I will forever remember that Mr. Schimmel was a guy who had 83,000, he had over 6,000 rape kits on backlog that he had not attended to. At the same time, he had spent $83,000 in public taxpayer money on creating little tchotchkes that he could hand out to people that said, kicking ass every day. Wasn't that nice? And as a woman here in Wisconsin, I really appreciate knowing the backlog of rape kits continued under Mr. Schimmel. It didn't change until Josh Call, our current Democratic attorney general, came in. Nice, huh? So sorry if I'm a little testy, but it's kind of a bad day for news. I'm sure the Enbridge will not give me any smiles either. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Terrific call, as always. Yeah, let me just kind of go over it. One is that stand your ground. That's very good, because stand your ground is a kind of a bogus thing they've put in statutes in a lot of states. But, common law, you had an obligation if somebody who threatened you to walk away. You had an obligation to do that. You couldn't just stand your ground. Well, here that you had people like the guy in Florida who pushed a black guy, and when then the black guy responded, he shot him and got away with it. And he claimed it was stand your ground. You're right. First of all, it's sad that we even have to talk about it in these terms. These are police officers, and people were trespassing, and 1,000 of them were charged, and well over 600 of them were convicted. And, some of them got high double digits. I mean, they got 18 years. I think one got 21 years. Many of them got a couple of years. Those were juries of their peers and in the American judicial system. And some were acquitted, but some were not acquitted. Quite a few of them were not acquitted. So that's number one. Number two, as far as Brad Schimmel is concerned, there is a... it's kind of a covert, it's sort of a languid not caring about some things. The rape kits, why would you not have them tested? Right. He had a lot of them. And at some point, you know, there are statutes of limitations on criminal prosecutions, believe it or not, except for murder. First degree murder has no statute of limitations, but others do. And have them lying around key evidence like that, because what? You couldn't get a Republican governor to free up a little money. What could be more important? But yeah, I do remember now that you raised it, you know, kicking ass and all that. This kind of crude language is Trump engages in it. Kevin McCarthy's engaged in it. Schimmel is engaged in it. There aren't a lot of, certainly not Democrats whom you would know and respect. I mean, you don't hear Biden engaging in it or Bernie Sanders or anybody. So Elizabeth Warren. So it really, to me, gets back to the Access Hollywood tape, which was the quintessential example of, I don't know if you remember the tape where he's joking and talking about grabbing women between the legs, Trump, but there was a very attractive younger woman who was standing there, very, very kind of impressed with meeting him. And if you took a look at the way he looked at her and the way he addressed her, the guy, Trump is the worst example in the Republican Party, but Schimmel should not be on the Supreme Court. I don't think he is going to be on the Supreme Court. If he's the nominee, the other nominee besides Ann Walsh Bradley will kill him. I don't think he's going to be the nominee. I think what's happened is there's an appeals judge in Waukesha who's talking about it is totally unknown, and Ann Walsh Bradley would beat her too. And there have got to be other people come in. And if that happens, there will be a primary, and the primary is going to be in February of 25. That's a year from this February, and the election will be in April of 25, and Ann Walsh Bradley will win, in my opinion. Thanks for calling, Joe. I want to talk about this Enbridge thing, which really frosts me. The Michigan Public Service Commission just gave the green light approval for a pipeline. This is a Canadian company to run through the Straits of Mackinac on the floor of Lake Michigan, on the floor of Lake Michigan. Experts testified they were worried about methane explosions. The thing had not been buried under the floor before. They're going to replace something. And that had dragged some anchors and almost caused an oil spill. This is the largest freshwater system in the planet. The Great Lakes are 25% of the freshwater on the planet. And why are we even worried about this? Because you remember the prior Republican governor before Whitmer? Remember that guy? Remember Flint, Michigan, Governor Rick Snyder? Flint, Michigan, the water was essentially poisoned. Told people to drink bottled water. He was criminally prosecuted, and then somehow he got off. 30 days before his term ended, 30 days, he formed a rump three-member board, and that board signed a 99-year lease for this Enbridge thing. 30 days before he left office. That's not right. That really isn't right. What happened was Gretchen Whitmer came in and she immediately revoked the easement. But there is consequence to signing something for 99 years. And the Michigan Public Service Commission has approved it. The Army Corps of Engineers has to approve it too. Now, the Army Corps of Engineers does an elaborate study, and they are going to apparently issue their decision in 2026, so it's still 2 years away. But 4.5 miles in the lake bed of Lake Michigan under the Mackinac Straits, when you have experts testify that they worry about methane explosions, there's also a question of tribal rights. One of the tribes has brought suit, and environmentalists have brought suit, and there's a way of the pipeline being diverted so it does not have to go through Lake Michigan. We have taken a very casual approach to Lake Michigan that I think is mistaken, and I think it's even dangerous. Remember with Foxconn, they were going to let Foxconn discharge 7 million gallons of waste into Lake Michigan. And Foxconn said, no, we only want to take 7 million gallons a day. Will return only 3.5 million gallons. Oh, really? And then we said, what are those gallons going to be? What's the form of the waste? In Lake Michigan. And Foxconn replied, we don't have to tell you because Walker waived an environmental impact statement. The whole idea of an environmental impact statement is to let the public know what kind of garbage is going in their water. This is Wisconsin. But Walker waived that. So fortunately, Foxconn, or unfortunately, we put $1 billion into them. They fleeced us. They cheated us good. And Walker was the reason for it. That never did get discharged into Lake Michigan. But up in that, in the Mackinac Straits, you have Michigan and Wisconsin coming together. There's a border, and we can't control the politics in the other state. They have a good governor now. Governor Whitmer is a very good governor. I met her. I met her when she was running for governor. I was running for governor as well. And there was a conference in Chicago for Democratic candidates, and I went there, and she was there, and we had a nice chat. Very impressed with Governor Whitmer. But she comes into office after Rick Snyder, the Flint, Michigan poison water guy, has this rump. It'd be sort of like Three Gableman types, sign a 99-year lease with Enbridge to do this. A lot of this is going to have to be taken care of in court. There'll be a question of what court. I think it should be federal court. The other thing, to tell you the truth, is there is a Lake Michigan compact, and certain things have to have the approval of all states bordering Lake Michigan, including Canada. Now, Canada is for this because Enbridge is a Canadian company. But the whole idea of having potential explosions or leakages that are very, very difficult to contain, and you're not going to contain them immediately, believe me, and having oil or methane gas pouring into Lake Michigan is something we shouldn't tolerate. We shouldn't tolerate. I think, and I would commend, now that this has come to the surface, that Wisconsin politicians speak out about this, that our federal and state politicians speak out about it, and that everything possible is being done to examine our legal remedies. I think there are legal remedies. I think a guy sneaking in a lease 30 days, how much could they have studied that lease if 30 days beforehand is when this guy takes a dive on it, Rick Snyder? But Lake Michigan, our fresh water is too important to leave to this kind of political sort of monkey business. And I'm very, very angry about this one. And stay tuned because you're going to hear about it some more. I suppose we have to have some levity. I don't know. There's not a lot of levity in this news. But one of the things I got a chuckle out of was this George Santos. George Santos, as he was leaving the Capitol and his office with his stuff in a trunk or a suitcase or something, his final statement, you know, isn't, you know, I regret that I have but one life to give for my country type of thing. His final statement was, to hell with this place. You know, there are final statements in history, and the one that I like the most of all is Nathan Hale, I regret that I have but one life to give for my country. But for a hack like Santos to be let out facing over 20 criminal counts for stealing money, basically, and fraud, to shout, to hell with this place, it reminds me of a guy who's causing trouble in a bar, and as the bouncers throw him out on the sidewalk, he shouts, I've been thrown out of better places than this. You know, you want a little class. I mean, okay, they're thieves, a lot of them, mostly in the Republican caucus. You would like a little class occasionally, something up, you know, uplifting. No, this guy is on the way out, pockets full of cash he stole, shouts, hell with this place. That really symbolizes the Republican caucus. Coming up, Donald Trump demands an extension in a case. And he gets it, but it may hurt him very badly. I'll explain.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, beware of what you wish for. Beware of what you wish for. In the Letitia James trial in New York, Donald Trump's people were supposed to get a brief in, summing up their view of the evidence before Judge Engoron decided how much money he had to pay. He already decided that Trump committed fraud. The only question now is going to be how much money Trump has to pay. Letitia James says $250 million. The evidence showed far more than $250 million. Judge Engoron will base it on the evidence, and he'll come up with a figure. Trump's people go, we don't want to do the brief. It was due at the end of this week. We don't want to do the brief. Now, we asked for leave to extend it to January 11th. Now, what happens is in the intervening period, there's Christmas, there's Hanukkah, there are many, many holidays, there's New Year's and so forth. It's very common for judges to grant an extension. This is an extension of roughly 30 days. Guess what? Judge Engoron granted it. He may have granted it to show that he's not biased against Trump, that he's not mad against Trump before he lowers the boom on him. But I don't know if Trump's lawyers took one thing into account. They will have till January 11 to write the brief. And you know what they're going to do, even with the holidays, they're going to spend their time on that case. But they're involved in another Trump case that starts January 16, 5 days later, is E. Jean Carroll's second defamation trial. He got nailed for $5 million in the first one. Now, Trump doesn't have a lot of lawyers anymore because he stiffs them. He doesn't pay them. And many of them end up being criminally charged. I still can't understand. I mean, lawyers are usually smart enough to protect themselves. I remember there's a course at the University of Wisconsin Law School in criminal law, and we were talking about a certain thing, and the professor gave some very good advice. He says, remember one thing if you remember nothing else. If you represent somebody in a criminal case and it turns out to be unsuccessful and he goes to jail, make sure you don't go along with him. And that's what these lawyers forgot. Chesbro, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, all these people. Hot shots. They thought they were hot shots. You don't go to jail with the client. You do everything you can to acquit him legally, but you don't go to jail with him. Well, he has a couple of these other lawyers now who I don't think are all that, you know, they're not the sharpest knives in the drawer. But his other lawyers also don't get paid. Some of the best lawyers in the country he went to and said, represent me. And they said, no. They've represented a lot of good, no good nicks. They've represented a lot of bad people, but they like to be paid. And he doesn't pay them. He stiffs them. So these people he has now, either he paid them something in advance or they're naive and they're going to get stiffed. But in any event, they are going to take till January 11 to do the brief. It's a complicated brief. There's a lot of evidence, a lot of testimony. a lot of arguments can be made as to causality, as to what he did and all that. And then on the 16th, they got to get up and do opening arguments in the E. Jean Carroll case. Now, he's obviously not taking that one as seriously because he didn't before. He didn't even show up in the first trial. And $5 million, if they nail him for that again, is a lot different from $250 million. But I think he's in for a very, very unpleasant January, to put it mildly, and an unpleasant March, because that's when he has Tanya Chutkan. And in the meantime, he has all these primaries and so forth. Okay, a couple of other things that stuck out to me. And one thing that blew me away, I already told you about this guy, Florida, the chairman of the Florida Republican Party. His wife is a co-founder of Moms for Liberty, and he's under investigation for rape. Well, out in L.A., the first vice chair of the Republican Party there has just been charged on January 6th with trespassing and disorderly conduct. This is L.A., for Pete's sake. L.A. This is L.A., one of the biggest cities in the country. Maybe it's the biggest now. I don't know. Maybe New York still. I don't know. But the point is, the first vice chair is charged for trespassing and disorderly conduct. It's unbelievable with these guys. One piece of potentially good news, Kenneth Chesbrough, another lawyer for Trump, took a plea with Fannie Willis to stay out of jail, keep his carcass out of jail, is now confirmed, is cooperating in the Nevada investigation of fake electors. And I'm a broken record. I'd like to see the fake electors in Wisconsin, for Pete's sake, and especially Ron Johnson and Voss. And Wisconsin's connection has been mentioned in these other ones. It's sort of a piece of cake, but in any event, but Chesbrough is now cooperating. Why is he doing that? Well, I think he wants to stay out of jail in Nevada too. And it may very well be that the Nevada Attorney General said, look, Jack, you're going to cooperate. You're going to give us a statement. You're going to be truthful. Or you are going to be a defendant out here under RICO theory. And you don't even have to be in, you never even have to have been in Nevada. As long as you're in on the conspiracy, as long as you are in on the conspiracy. And one other thing that really frosts me, they started those commercials again, attacking Megan Wolf and Voss, believe it or not. And I'm no defender of Voss, but remember they did it before. They put $100,000 in Milwaukee Journal and TV in Milwaukee. Well, now it's $250,000, and I suspect it'll get around the state, not just in Voss's district. And it's totally false. And one of my calls, I think it was Joe Madison a long time ago, said, well, why doesn't Megan Wolf sue them for libel? Because she could. First of all, they put in a very unflattering picture. You and I and everybody has taken an unflattering picture, and they put that in to make it look bad. And then they say, like she did something wrong, drop boxes. She didn't do drop boxes. The Wisconsin Election Commission does drop boxes. She is a ministerial executor of their will. She's the executive. She's not the policy maker. And they falsely say she is, and then they say, Voss, you better get on the stick and impeach her, or we're coming for you in a primary. They say it, for Pete's sake. Let's do something about this, about these crooked ads. Coming to the end of the show, I'll tell you what, stand by for a lot of news and weather, another great show, Devil's Advocate with Dom and Crute. Great callers today, as always. I appreciate them. Matt Flynn Direct. Be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.